love that line where it says, "Death's river will at last run dry." There's coming a day when there's going to be no more death. And I bless his name. Well, I want to do this tonight. I appreciate Brother Joe Arthur. My, how the Lord used him in the service last evening. I appreciate the fact that God has looked after him through his surgery. And I'm thankful for how he strengthened his voice. He is not able to preach back-to-back services. He was booked to be here Monday night and tonight. But I want him to come around and just say a word for us and bear a testimony before Brother Mike Edwards comes to preach. I love this man of God. We were talking there. He said, "I've been a-coming here since 1994. And I appreciate Brother Joe. And we're praying for you, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
You. Appreciate
it. It's good to be here
tonight. And when you go through some stuff, it's good to be anywhere, anytime. But I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I appreciate all my friends here at Taylorsville. Your pastor called me the day of the surgery and had prayer for us. And I've got a lot of text and a lot of cards and letters. And even got some people to send me some money. Glory to God. But I appreciate God's faithfulness to us. And I was reminded over there in Mark 4 where Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Now we're going to get in this ship and we're going to the other side." And the destination was planned before the boat ever left the dock. But between that shore and the other shore, an unexplainable, unexpected storm came up. But the Bible said that Jesus was in the back, the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And I was over there in Jerusalem, and I rode that Jesus boat. And I noticed I was a little shelf in the back where some of the sailors could get in up under the rain. And one of them was taking a nap, and he had his head on a sandbag. And there was two or three other sandbags he was laying on top of. And I said, "What's that?" He said, "It's a pillow." I said, "What do you use it for?" He said, "It balances the ship." He said, "We cast out these sandbags and put them on different parts of the ship to keep it from tipping over." And I said, "Well, what's under that box?" He said, "The rudder. That's what guides the ship." And so when Jesus was asleep on that pillar, he's just balancing the thing out. And it's his ship and it's his trip. Amen. And when the wind got up, the Savior got up. And yes, there was a great storm, but yes, there was a great calm. And all my life, I've read that, "Peace be still," but I noticed something the other day. There's a comma there. It's peace, comma, then be still. Like it's almost two statements in one. Peace, comma, be still. Because there were two calmings. Yes, he calmed the storm, but he had to calm them. And no matter if he calms the storm, if he calms you, that'll be enough. And I'm glad the Lord's just not enough. I'm glad he is more than enough. That doctor said I'd have to have surgery. May have cancer. He goes, all this stuff. And I'd always told everybody, trust God. Faith always wins. Shout her out, bless God. And then about that time, I heard a voice say, "Have at it. Have at it." But I found out it's harder to do than it is to say. And I'm not going to brag on this. I'm ashamed of it. I was afraid. I was scared. I was frightened. But I'm glad even in the midst of our uncertainty and our fear, we may not know what tomorrow holds, but I'm glad we know who holds tomorrow. And he is the master of the wind, he's the master of the sea, and he's the master of you, and he's the master of me. And God makes no mistakes. He knows the way through the wilderness. And I am glad when the enemy does move in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I'm glad we've got each other, I'm glad we've got the Lord, and I'm glad we've got the book. And one day, not only the river of death, but the river of trials is all going to dry up. And praise God, children, we're going to a country where we'll shout forever and never get a polyp on our vocal cord or a hernia in our gut. God is good. Thank you for being my friends. Thank you for praying for us. And may the blessings of the Lord be upon you. And as old Billy Kelly used to say, son, we've been friends down here, and we will be friends up there. And I know what Tom Gillum's going to say at the end of this service. Joe, that's the best sermon I ever heard you preach.
Don't you appreciate God's man tonight? I bless him and I thank him. Yes, ma'am. Well, it's come time for our second message tonight. I appreciate Brother Mike Edwards. He pastors the Piedmont Baptist Church in Kannapolis, North Carolina. Brother Mike has preached here quite a few times in the morning services over the years. But I felt like when Brother Joe couldn't preach, the Lord touched my heart with Brother Mike. And he's God's man for this hour. And I want you to listen while he comes to preach to us the Word of God. Love you, brother. Amen.
Be glad to be under the tabernacle tonight. Say amen. 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 The music has been a blessing. It is a joy to be here. And I'm thrilled to see you tonight. And it's good to see Brother Joe. We have been praying for him. And to thank the Lord how the God has watched over him and touched his life. And I'm glad to see you tonight. And I appreciate the invitation to come and to be here at Taylorsville. It is always a joy and a thrill to be here at the meeting. And if I could just come back and sit and just heard what I've already heard and experienced what I've already experienced, I'd say it's been worth every mile of the trip. But tonight I want you to take your Bibles and find the book of Psalms with me. And I want to look at one of my favorite psalms in the whole Bible. Out of 150 of them, how many of you got a favorite psalm that you really just love? And I mean, it just speaks to your heart. And we all have those favorite psalms. I want us to look at Psalms 116 together tonight. Psalms 116, I had something else and it wasn't going to work, but this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And we're just going to mind the Lord tonight. Psalms 116, you've been sitting for a while. I want you to stand up with me. And I want to look here at one verse, and we're going to preach through this whole chapter tonight. And I want to look at this one verse and read it. And I hope that God will etch this in your heart and in my heart afresh and anew tonight. I want us to look at verse number 1 together. The Bible says, I love the Lord. I got written in my notes, holler glory right there. I love the Lord. And the next word, because. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this truth. Why do you love the Lord? Why do you love the Lord? Let's ask him to help us tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that we have already heard and experienced tonight. And I pray, God, in the power of Jesus' name, that you would help us, Lord, in the few moments that we have together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that, God, you would help us through your word. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, oh, God, it is our prayer. We have been praying, God, we have been asking that, God, today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's somebody here that's gotten away from you, Lord, I pray tonight that, God, as Jesus is lifted up, God, that's all I know to do, Lord, is just make much of you. And God, I pray that you would move and work and be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. And we will thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. We all know about the psalmist David. And as you go through his life, you will find that David went through some ups and he went through some downs. We found that through the ups and the downs, David still had this testimony that he still loved the Lord. I can see David on the other side as he has fought Goliath and he has watched that big giant fall down before a great big mighty God. As David stands there and he says, boy, I've seen what God has done. done. I love the Lord. We see the heights of David. We see David on the run from Saul. And as God has watched over his man, as God has provided for his man, I believe there was a time as David stood there and he just looked all that God had done for him in that time of a wilderness. I love the Lord. He had watched as God had brought that kingdom, and now he's been anointed king, and he's ruling and he's reigning there in the palace. And I believe as David looks over Jerusalem and he sees all that God has blessed him with, he's seen the grace of God, he's seen the goodness of God in his life, I believe David stood out there on the balcony and says, I love the Lord. David's life went from the heights down to the valleys, and it was even in a time of sin where he messed up and he committed adultery with Bathsheba and even committed murder. But he found that God was not just a God of salvation, but he is a God of restoration. He is one that can take those broken pieces. He can mend. He can make. He can watch God put those pieces together. And I believe as David looks on the other side of restoration, he said, oh God, I love you. His family has fallen apart. It has fallen at the seams. And I still believe the testimony in David's heart through it all is, I love the Lord. I believe as David is fixing the exit this world, as he lays there on that bed and they're wiping his brow, David, tell me something. Tell me something about the Lord. Do you got anything to say about the Lord before you exit? What are your final words, David? I believe David would say something like this. I love the Lord. As we look through Psalms 116, the love that the psalmist had for the Lord, it caused him to worship. It caused him to clear out a spot and said, I want to render unto God for what he has done. I believe when you love the Lord, it will cause you to worship. Worship is still a proper word. Worship is still something that God's people ought to do on a day-by-day basis. God, I want to thank you. God, I want to praise you. You've been so good to me. And when you love the Lord, you will worship the Lord. It not only caused him to worship, it also caused him to work, caused him to raise up his sleeve and go to work for the cause of Christ. I believe that service is connected to devotion. It'll make a difference in your life. Work without worship is misery. But worship plus work is ministry. And a lot of people are living in the misery, and we're not living in ministry because we've gotten messed up with worship and work. Amen. People are trying to work without worship. And then you got those that worship and they don't work. But it takes people to both worship and work to get the job done. The psalmist here, he's talking about how it has caused him to worship. It has caused him to work. It has caused him to be a witness. But as I dive into Psalms 116, he gives some reasons why he loves the Lord. I want to give them to you real quickly. Three reasons why I love the Lord. Number one, I love the Lord because of answered prayer. Look at verse number one and verse number two. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. I hope you'll get this tonight. Because I feel like sometimes we think Brother Steve can pray. Brother Joe can pray and God will hear Brother Steve and God will hear Brother Joe and God will hear Brother Jamie. But I'm just somebody sitting out here in camp meeting. Go ahead. I'm a nobody.
Go ahead, preacher.
They don't even know my name or even know I'm here. But the same God. The same God that'll hear his prayer. The same God that'll hear his prayer is the same God that'll hear your prayer tonight. He's not a respecter of persons when it comes to prayer. He said, call unto me and I will let. Prayer is so important to God. He doesn't put an angel on this. He doesn't put a man on this. He does it himself. He says, you do the calling, and I will do the answering. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I sure am thankful. I can go back in my mind and realize there's some times that I've prayed some prayers. I've asked God for some big things, and I've watched God do bigger things that have blown up my mind. And when I think about those answered prayers, those times when there were tears rolling down my face, and yet God was faithful to hear me, yet God was faithful to answer my prayer. Anybody thankful on a Tuesday night that you can go back down memory lane and there's a God that's answered prayer? That lady just stand up and testify. 3 years of an answer, 3 years in a trial, 3 years in a situation, and God answered prayer. Boy, I want to tell you something. When the heavens begin to open and God begins to answer that prayer, there's something that stirs down on the inside of you. God, I love you. God, I appreciate you. God, thank you. I love the Lord because of answer prayers. Let me ask you a question tonight. Have you watched God answer prayer in your life? A few months ago, we were did this big Easter production, and we had the drama, and there was a couple that had been praying for their daughter, and their daughter was in that alternative lifestyle stuff. And they were fought. I mean, every service, man, they were all at the altar begging God. She came on that Easter service. She sat through that whole program. And I there were so many people, I couldn't tell who was there. And so when we got through, they were standing out there in the vestibule, and they were talking, and they said, "Preacher, you're not going to believe this." He said, "Our daughter was here, and we were so thrilled that she came, and we were so thrilled that she heard the gospel tonight." And about that time, the mama's phone rang. Go ahead. That mama pulled it out. She saw where that text had come through, and she said this, "Mama, I just wanted to let you know I got saved. I got saved tonight." The young lady has not missed a service since. Her life is radically changed, moved out of that lifestyle, serving the Lord, helping out in VBS this week. And I see a mama and a daddy. They've got a smile on their face. And they say, "Boy, God's been so good. God's been so faithful. We have a God that answers prayer." And when I think about the prayers that God has answered in my life, and I see the times that God has moved in my behalf, can anybody testify with the preacher tonight? I love the Lord. Say that with me. I love because of answered prayers. Notice number two with me. Not only do I love the Lord because of answered prayer, I love the Lord because of His almighty power. Look at verse number 8 with me. "For thou hast," once again, it's God at work in His life. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." I love the Lord because of His. I've seen God at work in my life. And the greatest of all miracles was not the fact that the blind were able to see. The greatest of all miracles was not the fact that Lazarus got up out of that grave. The greatest of all miracles was not that the leper got cleansed. Oh, no. The greatest of all God's miracles, Squire Parsons had it right. The greatest of all miracles is when every time God saves a sinner. There is no sinner that God cannot save. There's nobody so far gone that God cannot redeem. There's nobody tonight that's underneath the sound of my voice that the grace of God cannot change your life. I remember as a 6-year-old boy, and when I called on the Lord, the Bible said, "For whosoever," I like that word, "whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God saved this little six-year-old boy, changed my life. He delivered my soul from death. And when I think about the power of salvation, God took me from death unto life, from hell to heaven. I mean, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a child of the King. And when I think about the power of God, that the fact that the King of all kings would look beyond my fault, saw my need, died on a cross for me, shed his precious blood. But let me tell you what tears me up when I think about 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ in him. To think that God put his righteousness on me and put my sin on Jesus Christ, and all my sin, he bore it to Calvary. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You and I were just a heartbeat away from hell. Had it not been God passing by your way, had it not been the Holy Ghost led you to bloody Calvary, threw you at the feet of the Nazarene, where you went down a beggar, but you got up a child of the King. Anybody thankful on a Tuesday night that the grace of God touched your life one day, changed your life one day? And when you think about being saved, I love the Lord. The power of salvation. I think about not only the power of salvation. Look at this same verse. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Mine eyes. From what? Tears. See, in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, it talks about the exceeding riches of his grace. That he's going to show us. I wonder, Brother Joe, I wonder if God will roll back the curtain and show us the stuff that he kept out of our life. That drunk driver who could have taken your life out. But there was the hand of God. That accident that when they said you should have not walked away, you shouldn't have walked away. But here you are on a Tuesday night. Here you are at camp meeting. And it's been the almighty power and the hand of God that has kept back some stuff, that has removed some stuff, standing between you and the adversary. Stood almighty God time after time after time after time, even when you played the fool, even when you drifted away from God, even when you were, bad, and yet God was still good, and yet God was still faithful, and God was still guiding you. God was not done with you. God saw what you could be, and God made you, and he molded you. And when you think about the tears that could have fallen down your face and the sorrows that you could have gone through, but yet there was faithful God standing in the shadows, watching over you, protecting you, guiding you. And when I just think about the power that he's displayed in my life, it makes me want to say, I love God. Yeah. But then there's a third one in there. I mean, the power of salvation, the power through sorrows. But notice what it says right here. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 8. It said, and my feet from what? Fallen. I mean, he has power of salvation, power through my sorrow, and power for my steps. He has kept me. 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. He has kept my feet from falling. He has kept, I hope somebody gets this. He has kept my feet from falling. Could have been disqualified. could have been done. As Paul said, a castaway. But God. But God. I'm reminded of a verse in Deuteronomy that says, the everlasting God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You remember that time you were so discouraged that you just wanted to take the towel and just throw it in and say, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm not going to make mention of his name no more. I'm going to go do life my own way. I've tried that stuff, and it just didn't. And yet, it was like the word of God, as Jeremiah said, was like a fire set up in your bones. And you couldn't walk away from the Holy Ghost. You couldn't outrun the Holy Ghost. When you went to that furthest part, away from mama's prayers, daddy's prayers, the preacher's prayers, there was the Holy Ghost still after you, still drawing you, still bringing you. And he's been there every step of the way. And here you are tonight, and you say, boy, there was a time in my life. There was a time where I drifted away, and yet there was the faithfulness of God, and there was the mercy of God, and there was the good. No wonder David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just the days when I'm up, not just the days when I've been good, not just the days when everything has been well, but even when I played the fool, even when I drifted, even when I was done, even when I walked away, yet there was the goodness of God, and there was the anybody thankful for the mercy of God and the goodness of God on your trail tonight? What are you saying? I'm talking about his almighty power. And when I think about his power in my life, I love because of answered prayers. Because of almighty power. But Brother Steve, there's like a verse in this chapter that is almost just like out of place. I see all this stuff that the psalmist is saying, and then around verse number 15, stuck in this chapter where David says, I love the Lord. There's this verse that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, hold on a minute. I've been to funeral services. I've seen those people weep. I've seen those people hurt. I've seen those people walk back and they dealing with loneliness and grief because it's real. How come in this psalm where he says, I love the Lord, he talks of death in this chapter? I would have understood if he'd have left that subject out. That's one I want to leave out for a while. But I was reading this one day, and this is what that verse says. Precious in the sight of the Lord. See, it's not precious from this side. But on the other side, it's precious. I read a story one time about a grandma, and this grandma was doing one of those cross stitches. I look over this crowd, I can see there are some grandmas that know how to do two things real good. Cook biscuits from scratch, not out of a can. Scratch, and probably can cross stitch. And grandma was doing the grandma thing. She was doing one of those cross stitches, and she had one of those kids down on the floor, and they were playing with their matchbox cars. And that kid looked up, that little boy looked up, and he said, "Grandma, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life." And she said, "Honey, come here. You only see it from your side. But up here from my vantage point." And she grabbed that little grandson, put him up in her lap, and said, "Now look at it." He said, "Mama, it looks totally different up here than it does down there. And I want to say down here it doesn't look good, but up there where he is, hey, up there where Jesus is, it's a whole different story." And when David started looking at death from the side of God, he says, "God, I want to thank you for your amazing promise. I want to thank you for your amazing promise that I'm going to leave this world one day. I'm going to a better land one day. And on your side, the way you see it, the way you view it, it's still precious." Amen. Why is it precious? Well, you think about this. It's precious because we finally get rescued from our sorrows. Boy, you see them Christians just struggle, especially, I mean, you got those that battle cancer. I've been to those hospice houses. I've held those hands, and there ain't no meat on them bones. And they struggle just to catch their breath. But what is it like when they take their last breath on? They're struggling to get that last breath on this side. Only to take that next breath on the other side. And when they leave those sorrows behind. I said, when they leave those sorrows, aren't you glad we got a promise that we're going to leave these sorrows behind one day? And when the Lord gets to watch us leave those sorrows behind, leave that sickness behind, leave that cancer behind, leave that COVID behind, leave those diseases behind, leave those troubles behind, and we take a breath on the other side, I believe as the Lord looks, I believe he says, that is precious. I don't think that's just it. See, I believe the Lord starts showing his children around the place. Can you imagine? They take their last breath down here. They knew the Lord is their Savior. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. It ain't precious for everyone, but it's precious for those who know Jesus. And he takes them up. He says, "Listen, let me tell you why I went. Let me tell you why I left earth. I went to prepare a place for you. What do you think about that mansion right there? I mean, have you ever gotten a gift that just amazed you? Probably not from your mother-in-law, but from somebody else in your family. And I mean, you just looked at it, and I mean, just it wowed you. Can you imagine when you see a mansion with no payment book? Can you imagine when you see your mansion that God himself prepared? He didn't put an angel on this job either. Go to prepare a place for you." What do you think about it? And our jaw hits the ground and we're picking that thing back up. And I believe we'd say something like this: the half has not been told. We start looking, "God, you just knew everything. Boy, you knew I'd really like this mansion. That's wonderful. That's great." And then he takes us on through. He says, "Oh, God, it's got something else to show you. You know all those tears you cried? I want to let you know I've been catching them. And I want to let you know through all those sorrows, I got every single tear that you've cried. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I do know this. For him to catch my tears, he had to be close when they were falling. Did you get that? For him to catch my tears, he had to be close when they were falling. I want to let you know, when you walk through that valley, not just in it, I brought you through it. And I caught every single tear. And I bottled them up. And I want to let you know, they've been precious to me. Because you're precious to me. And when your tears started falling, it touched my heart because I'm touched with the feelings of your infirmities. And when you were going through the heartaches, I want to let you know that I was right there with you every step of the way. And when we see those tears that he's bottled up and he's caught for us, and we realize how much Jesus really cares, the devil has lied to you and told you that nobody cares. But I come to report to you tonight that God still cares, and he's catching those tears to let you know he has not forgotten about you. He knows your name. He knows your need. He knows your nature, and it cares tonight. I got something else I want to show you. Do you, Lord? I don't know, but this thing's a lot more precious than I thought. Come here, son. And he takes us, and I'm going to give you some Edwards theology. I believe he lets us get up on his lap for this one. He says, I want to show you your name. And he reaches over and he grabs the Lamb's Book of Life. And he pulls that book out. You ever had a mama or a grandma that keeps them record books? My mama was going through her stuff the other week. I mean, still had my teeth. I said, Mama, you can throw those away now. She sits down with my daughters and shows them all this stuff. And can you imagine when God allows us to get up in his lap? He says, I want to show you. Look at that name. You remember when it got put there? And you're sitting there and you're just nodding. I do. And that name can't be whited out. That name can't be torn out. Hey, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life by the blood of the Lamb. And you are in. You are in. When you are in Christ, you are forever in. Aren't you thankful that you can rejoice tonight? Jesus told his disciples, hey, don't rejoice over the fact that devils are subject to you. Hey, rejoice that your name is written in God's. Aren't you thankful on a Tuesday night? I can say I love the Lord. My name is in his book tonight. Man, but he's taken us through when he's allowed us to see all these things. And about that time, you sitting up there and seeing your name in that book. About this time, somebody catches your eye. It's that loved one that you had to say goodbye to. They come walking around that corner, and you catch their eye, and someone's going to say to you, hey, son. Somebody else may say, hey, daughter. It may be one that says, hey, daddy. Hey, mama. And the last time you saw them, it hurt.
But this time it doesn't hurt. Because so shall we ever. So shall we ever be with. What do you think goes in the mind of God when there's that reuniting? Brother Joe, when you see your daddy, when you see your daddy one day, and he says, "Son, whoo, son," I mean, all those times, all those messages, all, "Son, isn't it wonderful?" And that reunion of father and son, that reunion of husband and wife, that reunion of parent and kid happened right there in the very presence of God. I believe he says, "That's precious. That's precious." I just start thinking about that. It makes me just want to say, I love the Lord. But then I think about one more thing. I'm about done. Seen all this stuff of heaven. Jordan, come help me and give me the key of G. Think about all that you've seen. But then, the whole thing of heaven was not the mansion, was not the street of gold, it was not the tears in the bottle, it was not the name of the book, it was not even the loved ones. But it's when you turned your head and for the very first time, you just focused on Him. And you see those eyes. And you realize they saw you when you were undone and lost. And yet, He had compassion on you. You look in those eyes. And you see those times that He carried you through. And you see those eyes of compassion. And you realize there's only one reason why I'm here. It's Him. It's Him. And you say something like this: "Lord, let me get with that rest of that crowd that's around here that's crying out, 'Worthy.' Because I want you to hear my voice cry out with them, 'You're worthy.' And I'm thankful for every promise that you kept. Thank you for everything that you did for bringing us through. Because when I get to that day, I'll realize, help me, Jordan, there'll be no sorrows there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be, and what a day I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. First stanza for me, Jordan.
There'll be no sorrow.
Do you love the Lord tonight?
No more.
Maybe you just find a place at the altar and just tell Him one more time, "Lord, I love You tonight. I love You tonight."
No more parting over there, and forever I.
what I'm supposed to be doing as a preacher if I didn't ask you this question. How many of you underneath the sound of my voice said, "Preacher, if I was to die tonight, take my last breath, what you talked about, I know that's reality. I know that's reality. I've been saved. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart, be my Savior." That's your testimony tonight. Let me see your hands. Wonderful, wonderful. You may put your hands down. That was a lot of hands, but that wasn't all the hands. But maybe you're here tonight and you said, "Preacher, if truth was known, I'm not sure why I'd spend eternity. Would you pray for me tonight?" Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back to you. I just want to know how to pray tonight. You said, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me tonight?" If that's you, would you just slip up your hand long enough for me to see it, my left or my right? "Preacher, I'm not sure that heaven's my home, but would you pray for me tonight? Preacher, here's my hand. Would you pray for me tonight? Preacher, would you pray for me tonight?" Moment, we're going to pray. An invitation is going to be given. And maybe tonight you just find a place in this altar. Maybe you just want to tell Him, "Lord, I love you tonight." Maybe you want to come pray for a loved one. You need to do business with God tonight. Maybe you've drifted away from God. Why don't you come home tonight? We're going to pray and Jordan's going to sing. Will you come tonight? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. God, I do. I love you tonight. God, you have been so good to me. Lord, I think about the answers to prayer that you've answered in my life. God, I got to lift up my hands and say, I love you. I think about your almighty power. Once again, Lord, I got to say, I love you. And then when I think about your amazing promise of where we're going to go one day, oh, God, I've got to tell you, I love you. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Jordan's singing. You need to do business with God tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you come tonight?
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim. Forevermore, all that had begun. promise.